Thank you very much. The presentation I'm going to make, if you weren't here earlier, I'll cover some things that Cheryl had discussed before, but it's from the same study that we conducted. So some of this, I'll just go back, because some of you might not have been here for Cheryl's, and talk about the study a little bit as well. So just in case some things seem a little repetitive. But thank you so much for allowing me to be here to present. I have no relationships to disclose, financial relationships. So the gap between vaccine rates among minorities and white populations have been narrowed, but there's still disparities that exist and are persistent. And this is because, as our secretary mentioned one time, and this is in the context regards to flu vaccines, but too many people in these communities still don't believe that vaccines are safe or that they even work. But with so many African Americans, Hispanics, American Indians, and others experiencing rising rates of chronic diseases, not getting vaccinated is many times more dangerous than even the perceived threat of the vaccine. And this is what made us interested in this study, and particularly with HPV, because we do a lot of HPV research at our department. We need to uproot this fear of vaccinations, but in order to do that, we have to understand where this fear is coming from, and that's the premise of this study. So just a little bit of background. These perceptions about vaccine is what makes our jobs as public health professionals very difficult at times. Finally, we have a vaccine that can prevent cervical cancer, but yet people are still doubtful about receiving the vaccine. And barriers to vaccination among adults include not knowing enough about it, misconceptions about the vaccine. So we have seen in this last election year just a lot of misinformation being put out there about the HPV vaccine, and lack of a recommendation from healthcare providers, and particularly with minority communities. Medical mistrust is also a barrier to vaccine uptake. There's growing information and data out there about medical mistrust in regards to healthcare participation and including HPV vaccination uptake, which is what this study is going to look at. Mistrust comes from a lot of different areas, including personal experiences, cultural perceptions, and even how to some people are treated as soon as they walk into a healthcare facility. Something as important as a receptionist being friendly to you can cause this, mistrust. And what is vital is overcoming that mistrust. Excuse me. And despite, like I mentioned before, despite the benefit of the HPV vaccine in preventing cervical cancer, fewer than half of the women that are actually eligible for it have initiated the three-part vaccine series. And among those who initiate, a lot of these women actually don't complete it. So due to this, it's important for us to understand what's happening here. Why aren't they completing these series? So the purpose of this study is to examine the differences on medical mistrust and HPV vaccine rate intentions among an unvaccinated women. So just to reiterate some points that my colleague Cheryl shared about the minority study, and we call it the minority study because we have several studies in the department going on HPV, and this study specifically focused on racial and ethnic minority women between the ages of 18 to, well, actually, it was just undergraduate and graduate women at the institution. It was a web-based survey that was sent out through the registrar's office at the institution, and the survey was adapted from previous HPV psychosocial studies that we have going on in the department, as I mentioned before, and constructs from the health belief model and social cognitive theory. And it was also pilot tested. For this analysis, men and women both participated in the survey, but this portion focuses on the women, and then beyond that, unvaccinated women as well, because this is the group that we want to target with health messages. Our measures were the group-based medical mistrust scale, and this scale is based on suspicion. It looks at three factors: suspicion of mainstream healthcare systems and professionals, the treatment that they receive, and how they respond to how they feel about how their people are treated. So it's group-based, not personal discrimination-based. And these are some of the items. So doctors and healthcare workers sometimes hide information from patients who belong to my ethnic group. Another item is people of my ethnic group cannot trust doctors and healthcare workers. Because I know there's been some confusion about, you know, this scale. So it's group-based. The other measures also, we looked at gender and ethnic preferences of providers, and that was measured by two items. And so just an example of that item would be, I would be more likely to get the HPV vaccine if the doctor or healthcare provider who recommended it to me was the same gender as me and the same ethnic group as me. And then we had we also looked at reasons for not intending to get the HPV vaccine, and this was a list of yes, no answers. And then our statistical analysis was comparing means, and it was not normally distributed, so we used a non-parametric test. So the majority of the participants in the study were Hispanic. We're in sunny, beautiful Florida, palm trees, and actually our study mirrors the breakdown of racial and ethnic minorities at the institution. And they were, because it was undergraduate and graduate students, the mean age wound up being about 23 years old. 37% were in their third or fifth year of college. Most had health insurance, and most had a regular health care provider. So this is not representative of what the communities of Latinos look like, because we know that health insurance rates are not as high, and most don't have a regular health care provider. So this is sort of a privileged population here, which it shouldn't be, because everyone should have access to care, right? So if we can see, the average medical mistrust score for the entire unvaccinated group was about 14. But when we looked at racial and ethnic differences, we saw that Black women had the highest levels of medical mistrust. Women with higher mistrust scores also reported a preference for a healthcare provider of the same gender. And there were significant differences in these average medical mistrust scores. We also saw that women with higher mistrust scores reported a preference for the healthcare provider of the same ethnicity. And these analyses of provider characteristics and factors related to vaccine intentions revealed that gender and racial ethnic provider are important, right? If you have higher mistrust, then these things are important to you. But in our analysis, too, we found that it's actually gender was more important to them than their racial and ethnic background, which I'll talk about too. Among the unvaccinated women, 76% intended to get the vaccine in the next year. And we looked at, okay, well, what are some reasons why they're intending or not intending to get the vaccine? And this is a list of these are some of the reasons why they're not intending and getting the vaccine. And there were various reasons, but these were the most significant. These were the significant ones. And among one of the women who did not intend, I keep doing this. Now you get to see everything before I talk about it. Among women who did not intend to get the HPV vaccine, medical mistrust scores were significantly higher. And their reasons that they cited were not so different from other studies. We know about side effects. But one thing that struck me, too, is not knowing where to go. So here are women at an institution. They have student health services, and they still don't know where to go to get the vaccine. So again, there's another opportunity for education and intervention. So what are the conclusions? So we know that there are a lot of prevalent mistrust beliefs among Black women. This is not new, but for us, this is great because it shows, you know, that we're finding similar things. And again, it presents opportunities for us. And trust is an important factor to consider when we're talking about getting people vaccinated. When I showed that thing about the fear of vaccines, we need to understand where this lack of trust is coming from. And especially because, you know, the HPV vaccine, they want to know and they're trying to talk to their provider about it, but if they don't trust their provider, then this prevents them from actually receiving the vaccine. These findings are also important to note because a lot of mistrust studies are done with low-income populations, and this is a highly educated population, again, you know, with health insurance, so they have relationships, but yet they still have high mistrust. And this, again, may be an important mediating factor associated with low rates of HPV vaccine uptake. In addition to higher mistrust, these women seem concerned about vaccines in general. So we are hearing the same thing about side effects, and not knowing where to go, and just general general barriers. And all these barriers you know, women face, again, it's higher with mistrust, and that presents an even bigger barrier. And that's something that we need to get over. So, you know, they have these barriers, and then they have mistrust on top of it. So one thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, as public health professionals, we tend to always want to change the people, you know. We always say, well, you know, where is this mistrust coming from? We need to make sure that these women are more, you know, have to trust their providers. But what about us now focusing our efforts on providers and making sure that our providers can trust and develop relationships and work on that so that there is this trust happening? We need to focus on ensuring that healthcare providers become more trustworthy. And I don't think we've been doing a good job at that, and I think we can start, and maybe this data can, you know, be the impetus for us to begin on that journey. So what can we do? And that's exactly one of my recommendations, is creating interventions aimed at improving healthcare provider recommendation. And the reason why this is important is because with a lot of studies around HPV and the HPV vaccine, healthcare provider recommendation was what, you know, pushed these women to get the HPV vaccine. And as such, we need to make interventions to make sure that these relationships are happening, that there's trust developing, and moving forward. Another thing is healthcare providers can take a number of steps to increase their cultural competence. And sometimes I have a bit of a trouble with the word competence because it's about mastery. And I think it's a evolving process, and we need to learn that, you know, we're not going to ever be competent about other people's cultures, but at least we can have more knowledge about these cultures and understand that there are practices and things that we may not feel comfortable with all the time, but that we need to, you know, just be cognizant of it and be more accepting of different things. Another thing is developing culturally, linguistically, and literacy-appropriate materials. HPV is a complicated virus. Every single year, new information is coming up. And, you know, health literacy is a huge issue that our country is facing. So we need to make sure when we make these materials that are, reading levels that are appropriate for the audience, you know, tailor your messages for specific audiences as well. There's not a one-fits-all. You know, we have to make sure that we understand the people that we're targeting our efforts towards. Don't simply translate available materials. I always say this, and my major professor, Ellen Daly's here, you know, you can't slap a brown face on a pamphlet and call it culturally competent. Like, there's just no way that you can do stuff like that, but yet we continue to see these materials come out that are not relevant to these women. And so that needs to change as well. So please don't do that. create outreach programs. We had Manuela talk about Promotoras de Salud. That's a fantastic way, using community health workers to bring out your messages and to get women to be vaccinated, you know. And it doesn't have to be a separate intervention based on, you know, the HPV vaccine. Incorporate it. Incorporate these messages. And establish national and state guidelines. And we know that that's sometimes difficult, but advocacy and all these things that we need to do, you know, policy needs to be included in everything that we do as public health professionals, because we can work our butts off in trying to make and create effective programs, but if it's not happening at the top level, then it's not going to work. So I just want to acknowledge the research team, Dr. Daly, Cheryl Vamis, Lauren Young and those that are not able to be here today. And it's been a great experience, and we've been fortunate to be funded by our department at the University of South Florida to be able to do these analyses. Thank you very much. Thank you.